Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You guys want to support my boy at Weedle Knievel on Instagram?
Who's you guys? It's just me.
Oh, we're not podcasting right now?
This is not the show.
Oh, gosh. What is? Wait, if this isn't the show, then where are we?
And if that's your shadow and that's my shadow, whose shadow is that?
It's Weedle Knievel. Okay, are you...
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that remembers to put trash bags in the bathroom trash can. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick.
Do you like that?
I did. I was hoping you were going to do it. I'm so excited.
Of course.
That reminds me. Phoebe, remind me to put a trash bag in the bathroom trash can.
You are no longer a bachelor boy. I am still a bachelor boy. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I forget. It's the way of the wind, you know?
Which, by the way, I sent that idea to you while I was hiking. I was hiking through the wilderness with Phoebe on Saturday, and I was like, Phoebe, I have such a good idea. And she actually laughed, which means it was good.
Aw, that's great. Yeah. Thanks, Phoebe.
She also actually laughed at my... sometimes Phoebe will purposefully not laugh at one of my jokes so she doesn't give me the satisfaction. You know, like a wife should.
Oh, yes.
And that's not ironic. You should do that. And so... The other day, I was like goofing that I was going to follow her to work because I was like, I'm going to miss you. I'm actually going to go to your work and I'm going to like, she works at a women's clothing store, so it would appropriate for me to like right. go. I mean, it would be inappropriate, but still.
I'm going to follow Justice.
She doesn't work at Justice. Okay. she was like, that'll be embarrassing. And I was like, no, it's okay. I'll go in disguise. I'm going to set up a fern on the other side of the hallway at the mall. And I'm going to, and your coworkers would be like, why is there a giant fern across the hallway with binoculars sticking out of it?
And why is
and
the
it's
fern
reading a newspaper?
Why is the fern wearing a trench coat?
And why does exactly. I was like picturing me in a fern with the fern as a trench coat on. The fern is like reading a newspaper with two eye holes cut out of it. It's yes. like super spy mode. And she was like, that's not funny. And I was like, no, it totally is. You're picturing it. It's hilarious. She's like, you know what? That's really funny.
It is really funny. So the thing that I learned, and this is kind of pertaining, is that you can't stalk your wife. That's something that I know about society.
See, kids, sometimes these chastity speakers, they make you feel like anything goes after marriage, and that is just not the case.
As long as it results... Never mind.
this is a child-friendly podcast.
It is.
Okay? This podcast is safe for the little ears in the backseat.
Here's the thing, is that the kids who listen to us... Like, if you're listening to this and you're a kid, okay? First of all, what are you doing here? Definitely. Second of all... They're out watching Jake Paul YouTube video. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm.
All of our high school audience watches Jake Paul. That's true.
We are not the main kind of destination. The kids these days, they want something fast. They want something quick. They want Scandi. What's been going on in your life this past week? Is anything last week is our 4-year anniversary, so that was kind of a big deal.
I can't believe our last podcast was 4 years ago.
Oh dear. What else has been going? Are you doing okay? How's the wife?
Hey Pat, good to see you. Been a while. How's the wife? I haven't seen you down at the old hardware store recently. How's it going?
You need any tools? I don't know.
This is how men talk to each other. Back in the day when we had these Christmas bazaars at my elementary school, and you would like go. I don't know why it was a bazaar. I've never heard of a bazaar outside.
They didn't
want
to say market because
they're too capitalist.
Yes.
But they would have these like little Christmas. You would go with a little list. And I remember you had to like write down everyone you're getting gifts for, and then you could go get gifts. And I remember some kids would like write down their own name, and their parents would like give them money to get a gift for themselves. And I would always do that. Mom would be like, "No, you're not buying yourself a gift. It's a Christmas bazaar, okay?" give to other people. And so I would always go, and for my grandpa and my dad, I would just be like, oh, I don't know. I got you a screwdriver. That's the kind of gift that dads get, right? Yeah. Screwdrivers.
Just one.
And so now my dad has like a bunch. Yeah, not a set. My dad has like a bunch of screwdrivers in the garage now.
I have a question. Who is coming to the elementary school and selling single, individually wrapped screwdrivers?
I want to know who was supplying the Christmas bazaar.
Can you describe more in detail the Christmas bazaar? Because in my mind, I was imagining like crafts that kids would bring and like you could buy them from other kids. But
what
it sounds like would have
been a good idea.
What it sounds like you're describing is retailers coming into an elementary school. Like, hey, who's the guy? Who's the schmuck from Lowe's that got sent to the elementary school for the Christmas bazaar?
It's called the holiday bazaar, not the Christmas. They would bazaar. Take it was a Catholic school, so we were allowed to say Christmas.
You could say Christmas.
The government wouldn't like shoot. I'm just kidding. That's not what happened. there's so many layers of irony on that issue now. It's not even worth talking about. So they take the cafetorium. Okay, I don't know if you had a cafetorium at your school, but it's a cafeteria. It's a combination cafeteria auditorium. Okay, so we go into the cafetorium.
We called them multi-purpose rooms.
Well, I mean, most all rooms are multi-purpose if you think about it.
I need to call my principal.
So you'd go into the cafetorium, and there'd be like a bunch of tables set up, and there'd
why
be
don't they call it the auditoria?
So we go into the cafetorium, and it's so funny because that's such a normal word to me, but it's very much it's not. And so we would go in, and they'd have like departments set up. There would literally be like clothing, women's clothing, men's clothing, tools. Obviously, the tools section. You know, the three things that you can buy at stores. There'd be like candy. I don't know. I don't remember the sections. And so like you would go in, and you just kind of like you'd be in a class line, and it was like Aldi. You had like one track you could go on, or like IKEA, you know, and you could pick things up in your little like bag, and then they would pay for the thing at the end. And then it was a fundraiser for the school, essentially. And I don't know, they must have gotten like donations from local businesses, because looking back, it's like, yeah, it was literally like a prepackaged screwdriver. There was only one. It wasn't like they had a stock of screwdrivers. It was like a hodgepodge of tools. And I would like pick up a hammer for my grandpa and a screwdriver for my dad. And that's the only thing I remember buying. It was a truly interesting experience. You could almost say it was a Christmas bazaar.
When you went into the auditoria, did you want to buy anything for your for your mom? Like, did you get her like a spoon? Like, what?
What I probably ended up doing was buying my mom like some kind of like hair thing, or like a jewelry thing.
When I was a kid, I remember
bracelet,
getting ornaments. That was like the big thing for Christmas. It's like, oh, I could get my mom an ornament because. Yes. She has to use it, and she'll remember me every time she gets it out. And also, it's not like a real gift, and so I kind of evade all of the. You don't have to know what somebody prefers, for ornaments, because every Christmas tree. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is just a hodgepodge of all of the crap that you made from when you were a child to when you were an adult.
Yes. Yeah.
So there's no. It's great for memories.
The crap you made when you were an adult. Ethan is still making like hand turkeys.
How was your senior year of college? I made another crappy ornament.
I made another macaroni noodle ornament that says Christmas 2020.
I used all the popsicle sticks again, Mom. Ethan, you're 22.
Ethan, we just bought all those popsicles. Like, I know, I got hungry. Oh, man. But yeah, other than that. Other than the Christmas bazaar, nothing else has been going on. Fond memories of
That's
the Christmas bazaar.
That's pretty good.
How about you?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Riveting.
I know. Let me just say, my weeks are very busy. I'm way busier than I was when I was not a team director, so I'm not trying to glorify. This is not the glorification of busy. This is the Ethan being honest about his schedule. And so I don't really have a lot of time to do that much. Other than meet with students, meet with my teammates, meet with priests and other such people. I have a lot of meetings. I'm learning that's what management is.
Yeah. Yeah. Grr.
It's terrible.
Meetings.
I know. I'm thinking next week I cancel all of my meetings because I'm in charge, so I can just do that. Just say, everybody go
listen,
off and...
meetings are fun if you know how to run them.
Yeah.
But it's okay that you don't know how to run them
doing
yet.
Doing meetings isn't hard when you have a meeting card.
A meeting card. There's this author that I read. It was like a business management book, and he was talking like, he's like, what would you rather go to? Would you rather go to a movie or a meeting?
A movie.
Yeah. But like, why? Because movies
are fun.
They're fun, but like, what's fun about a meeting or movie? What makes a movie interesting to you?
Nicole Kidman.
Who is that?
She's an actress.
I heard the name, but I can't place her.
She's in Far and Away with Tom Cruise.
Cool. I also don't know who Tom Cruise is. That was a joke. But yeah, he said that the reason why we go and enjoy movies is because of the conflict and resolution, right? And so like meetings and movies are roughly the same amount of time, like 90 minutes tend to be like an hour to 90 minutes.
I meant to say Keira Knightley.
Oh, I think Kidman was married to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Right? He had like three wives that he divorced all at 33.
Yeah, which,
yeah,
oddly demonic. But anyway.
Anyway.
Carry on. What were you saying? Yeah, I was looking up Keira Knightley.
Ah, okay. So yeah, this is what makes a meeting interesting is conflict. And so if you have conflict at the meeting, if you're like solving a problem, and you should be invested in a meeting more than you're invested in a movie, because a meeting has actual ramifications for your organization. And yes. So like, for some reason, meetings just are boring because we use them as like informational packets, you know, like this meeting could have been an email because you're just telling me things. You're not like, we're just telling each other things. We're not like hashing things out.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
So yeah, read Patrick Lencioni books. He's great.
I think that's just what I do. Like anything that I can just tell my teammates, I don't really include in meetings. And so our meetings naturally are just like 30 minutes long because it's like, we talk about the stuff that needs to be talked about. And then we're gone. Like I don't know why some people feel the need that meetings have to be an hour. Like they'll stretch things out.
Yeah, some meetings have to be an hour, but it's because it feels nice on your calendar when you have all the hours blocked off. Nobody likes having like a weird 35-minute chunk. Nobody knows what to do with that.
That's why the mass is an hour.
Exactly.
It's to satisfy.
God knew what he was talking about.
satisfy the American need to chunk it up.
To chunk up time, to chunk up the time. Yeah, but like meetings are like a 15-minute daily check-in where like you just stand. It's like a standing meeting. It's like it's standing so that it gets done with fast and the people that have to go to the bathroom can't hide it, you know? You just stand up at like a standing table and you'd be like, all right, here's what I'm doing today. Here's what you're doing today. Sweet. And break. And then you just go do your things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of value in that.
We don't have those.
Just do it weekly.
We kind of, yeah, kind of. It's like weekly 45 minutes. This is what's going on. Figure things out. Boom. Bada bing, bada boom. Let's get out of here. Let's go after.
Sounds
good. Let's go do a podcast. Speaking of going to do things, hot take time machine.
Hot take time machine. Welcome to the Hot Take Time Machine, the part of the show where we take a look back at the time where you actually could go out and do things, the magical land of before 2020. If you have a hot take that's 5 years or older, send it over to give us a slide it into our DMs or our email. info@thecrunchcast.com. Ethan, what do you mean what's happening?
You just took on my role of we've gone through a switcheroo. This one's from September 20th, 2016. It's from Ethan Stevie Apropostle, which you can't follow anymore because the account's deleted. It says, if I see one more, quote, joke about pumpkin spice hosts, I'll swing. So this is twofold. One, there used to be this thing on Twitter where you'd say, I'll swing at somebody.
Yeah, it's kind of like the that's it, that's the tweet of then.
Yeah. Wait, what?
You never heard that?
Say that again.
That's it. That's the tweet.
I've people never heard
say
that.
That.
Do people say
You've
that
never
now?
Heard that? Oh yeah, people say that. Or I think they used to, but people will be like, don't vote for this candidate. That's it.
That's
the
tweet.
Tweet.
Oh, I get what you're saying now.
Yeah.
I'm so unplugged. I don't know. But people say I'll swing because they're like, oh, they'll fight about this thing. But I was serious because The worst part about, I'll stand by this, the worst part about being on Catholic Twitter was just the same
same
seasonal jokes coming up every year. It's like, oh, it's pumpkin
spice. I am so Feliz Navi done with this semester.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Am I right?
Everybody?
Hey, does everybody know that I'm right? It's like how on Reddit, every time Mythbusters is brought up, people go, man, I was so sad when I heard that Adam and Jamie hated each other. And then the next comment will be, well, they didn't actually hate each other. They just had a working relationship. And the next person posts the same interview link every single time. And you just like know it's going to happen. And that's what it's like. Pumpkin spice season comes around. You know that people are going to make these weird. Today, our priest at the Newman Center said, I don't want to be one of those Father Ricky relatables. Like a priest who, and we were talking about priests who like write their own songs and sing them during the consecration because they're trying to be relatable.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, we don't need all of these Ricky relatables coming in and trying to meet the kids where they're at. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice, please leave. Control Z, undo. That's my tweet. 12 retweets, 79 likes. The most successful tweet to date on
Hot Take
Time
Machine.
Yeah.
World record. I don't actually know the likes and retweets of mine, but anyway, we also have a fan mail one, so that's good. This one comes from March 10th, 2015. It's a Hot Take Time Machine within a Hot Take Time Machine. I still feel guilty over eating my best friend's snack in first grade. I can't even look at a biscotti without feeling a twinge of guilt, and that is still true 5 years later.
So this was 10 years ago that this guy ate this kid's biscotti?
That I ate this kid's biscotti.
You ate the kid's biscotti.
This was my tweet. Yeah,
you,
this was my tweet.
Oh, you ate the kid's biscotti in 2010.
Yeah, well, before 2010. It was like I think fourth grade. So this was like 2005.
So I was
tweeting this 10 years after the fact, and I still feel guilty about it
was
15
it,
years later.
Was it the snack after nap time?
Yeah, it was like his post-nap time snack.
Would you say you maybe woke up and ate this kid's biscotti? Like I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I woke up with a new biscotti.
And ate this kid's biscotti.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty good. It's like a good ace.
I think the context was I found it and I ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, where is it? And I was like, oh no, everybody's looking for this biscotti. I can't tell anybody.
I wonder where it went.
Biscotti.
Brushing.
I don't know who ate it.
Brushing.
And they're like, oh, it's so weird. I found it. Yeah, right. And then
guys, look over here. You like drop the wrapper out of your pocket. Look, the wrapper's over here.
There's evidence. And at my school, there were these things called, like, we had tickets for lunch. It was like you had to buy snack tickets, drink tickets, or lunch tickets. Like, that was a thing.
Did you go to school on an airplane?
Looking back, that's kind of what it was. But they were like these pictures. What's funny is they were totally reproducible. That's the funny thing. I don't know why nobody did that. There probably was like an underground ticket reproduction.
Because kids are dumb.
I mean, parents aren't. The thing was, like, a sheet of them is like not so expensive. So you had to like a sheet of them was like $20, and it was like lunch for, actually, you know what? That's not that expensive. But anyway, I only got lunch tickets on pizza day on Friday, and snack tickets were like $1. So you had like every snack ticket was $1 and they came on like sheets of 12.
Right.
And so I had one snack ticket. And so I was like, I gave it to my friend to like get them. I was like, here you go. Here's a snack ticket. I tried to cover it up and be like, I just feel bad that he had lost his snack. And my teacher was like, yeah, you totally ate the snack, didn't you? And I was like, no, I just feel bad that he lost his snack.
But the teacher knew.
Teacher knew.
For
teacher
sure. Knew. And you never copped to it. You never admitted.
I never did. I would never snitch on myself. On principle.
What was this kid's name?
I don't remember.
You don't remember the biscotti boy?
The biscotti boy, no.
It's too bad. Can we get the biscotti boy on the podcast? Where are they now? 15 years
Where are they
later.
Now? Biscotti boy. Still, he's like, you ate my biscotti. It's like that scene in Drake and Josh. You ate my enchilada.
There was no note.
There wasn't a note. Okay, so this one comes from this is a Patreon hot take. If you want to join our Patreon for $5 or more, you can join our Patreon, and there may or may not be some goodies that come your way. So that's good. But anyway, so this one comes from Bridget. She's a new patron, and because she's a patron, she got her hot take on the show. So if you want to get your hot take on the show, become a patron. Hi, my name is Bridget. And my secret identity on Catholic Twitter. Not gonna rat on her. Not gonna snitch. Pretty sure I've talked to you both in tweets.
Docs.
So her secret identity was. This is before the unveiling. So anyway, my hot take time machine is my very first tweet from sophomore year of high school, which has since been deleted. I don't remember the date, but I remember it was a link to a PDF about some conspiracy theory about corruption in the Catholic Church. And the text was, at Pontifex, please read this. Suffice to say, I had no idea how Twitter worked.
It's unprecedented how much information the Pope gets from his people just straight to his phone.
Through Twitter.
He just looks at it all the time. Every time somebody tags him, he's just like, wow, I need to consider this.
Thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. I know. At anonymous Twitter account.
I need to get a cardinal on this ASAP. You know, I'm reading the John Paul II biography right now. And nobody
ever... You bring that up more than I bring up Cal Newport.
I know, but it's a 900-page book. It takes a long time to get through.
It's like a week for me.
Nobody ever told me when I was younger that there was a man named Cardinal Casseroli. Nobody ever thought that that was something important that I needed to know. And
what kind of casserole was he?
I don't know, but he's not a tetrazzini.
Cardinal casserole sounds disgusting. I would much prefer a chicken casserole.
I know.
To a cardinal casserole.
But it's like, do you think the Italians know what they've done?
I'm pretty sure. Doesn't casserole mean the same thing? I'm sure casseroli, just casserole in Italian.
It's casseroli with an I. I think the word casserole, as we understand it, is a French word. But
I get it.
But the thing is like, do you think he walks around just like knowing that everybody's thinking what he's thinking? Anyway.
It's like if someone's last name was Lasagna. Right. My middle name is Lasagna. All right. Do you have a topic today?
The primate of pasta. The prelate of
the prelate of
Parmesan.
Yeah.
Cardinal Casseroli. I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
What were you saying? What was going on?
I was asking you if you had a topic.
I've got a topic.
Really?
And it comes from our Facebook group.
Really?
If you join the Crunch Patrons, then you can give us topics too. I just did your job for you, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was from Camille. Shout out, Camille. She asked us about that new Netflix show.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? And she said...
You want to talk about it before we've watched it?
We should talk about it before we've watched it. So the social dilemma on Netflix and the most fascinating, terrifying thing she's seen in a long time. Wow, these tech companies make it so that the Truman Show is real, but for every single person, and then they make that comparison in the film. She asks us what our take on it is, considering that we became friends on Twitter and have since completely deleted our accounts. Did you delete your Twitter?
No, I tweeted today, in fact. Someone was talking about how the police were bringing in heat rays for the protests, and I was like, I didn't know that Dr. Doofenshmirtz was in the police.
That's funny.
And I comment tweeted, a platypus protester? Perry the platypus protester? Perry the platypus? So, yes, I'm very much still online, but only for that.
This
only
is my...
Stuff like that.
This is my incarceratorinator.
Behold the systemic injusticeinator.
It's funny. Hey. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Yeah, in a sense. In another sense, it's not.
In another sense, it's not good.
I will oppress the entire tri-state area. Okay.
You got it all out of your system?
Yeah, I do. All my Doofenshmirtz impressions. No one told me Dr. Doofenshmirtz impressions would be so important in my youth ministry, but they have been.
Okay, see, now I can't say anything about that.
Yeah, you can't.
That's just a true fact. We were just doing Dr. Doofenshmirtz impressions as a team earlier today because we were talking really? About we were talking about doing Phineas and Ferb for Halloween.
Yeah.
And they said that I wouldn't be the best at doing the impressions. They said that my teammate Sam would be better at doing Dr. Doofenshmirtz, and I understand.
Like, are you going to be Phineas?
They told me that I have to be Phineas.
Yeah.
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 I want to. I kind of want to be Vanessa, though.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, we're going to move on to a different topic.
Can I be Mitchell Musso carrying around a microphone?
Hey, Candace.
Voice acting as Jeremy? Like, I don't want to be Jeremy. I want to be Mitchell Musso.
Oh, hey, Candace. You mean you want to get fired from Disney after a DUI?
Did that happen to him?
Yeah, it did. That's why he was replaced on Pair of Kings.
Ooh.
With the guy from Zeke and Luther and also Lemonade Mouth.
This is the knowledge is too deep. I want to talk about the question that we had on the
You want to talk about how social media is ruining our attention span?
No, I don't want to talk about that. But the idea of how we went from being friends because of Twitter and then have completely deleted our accounts. And now I think it's interesting because everybody's watching this social dilemma documentary, or at least I've heard a few people talk about it. And I'm like, did you guys not know this already? Like, I thought it was common knowledge that, like, if you're not paying for it, then you're the product. I thought it was common knowledge that there's billions and billions of lobbyist dollars trying to get you to watch this certain ad or target you. Like, I thought everybody just knew that, but maybe we only knew that because we sought it out. So I'm just, and then this documentary is like this big expose of social media. And it's like, I'm just more confused at like where has everybody
isn't this
else
common
been?
Knowledge? Yeah. No, I don't think it is common knowledge.
Really?
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. I think otherwise, like, here's the thing. Smoking.
Uh-huh.
We all know how bad that is. That is generally common knowledge, and that's not done, right?
I did have a cigar last night.
Oh, that's okay. That's count as smoking. Yeah, those are the Lord's tobacco.
Uh-huh.
That's that belongs to the Lord. Smoking, right? Drunk driving, all of these things are like all of these things were campaigned so hard, they were campaigned against so fervently that it's kind of entered the cultural zeitgeist of like the word designated driver and like don't smoke, like smoking kills, like we understand that tobacco, what it does. And so even people who consciously make the decision to smoke are doing so with the idea of, oh, I am putting myself at risk here, so I probably shouldn't go buck wild with it. But no, I don't think that people realize how damaging social media is because people are still promoting it as if it's something that everybody can get rich doing. Does that make sense?
Is that the main draw? The money thing?
No, I don't think that's the main draw. But I think one of the main draws, you know what? Maybe I'm going down a rabbit hole that we don't need to go down.
I will follow you wherever you go, just so you know.
There is this kind of allure of, there is this kind of Wild West mentality of social media that's like, oh, like anybody can strike it. Anybody can strike gold on YouTube, you know? And like
you just
the same thing
hot.
That happened, you know, you just gotta go, you know, you gotta be on Instagram. Like anybody can like do affiliate marketing on Instagram and mm-hmm. like like, okay, so when Phoebe started her curly hair account, she would get a ton of DMs
at Curly Phoebe
from MLMs specifically, uh-huh, or other accounts that are like, hey, we want you to like promote our clothing brand. And the thing is, like, she gets actual offers from companies that want her to promote their products, and they'll send them to her for free. But these other companies are like, we want you to buy this starter kit, and then you can get discounts on it. You get a little bit of kickback every time someone buys a product using your link. And it's like, okay, let's do the math and see if this actually works. I guarantee you these people make more money off of influencers getting on their program than they do actual products. And so it's like, also, the company's called Monat. They suck. M-O-N-A-T. They're the worst. Can we get sued? It doesn't matter.
Monat.
They're not a real company. So that's something that I've seen, too. I don't know if you've gotten these DMs, but like, once you hit over 1,000 followers on Instagram, you tend to get some of these DMs. It's like, hey, I just love I love your stuff, dude. Like, you should check out my clothing brand. We should totally collab. And it's mm-hmm. like, I bet you send like 80,000 of these a day. You're probably a bot. But that shows that they wouldn't do that if that kind of tactic didn't work on a larger scale. So sure. I think one of the things about social media is convincing people that if you have it, it's like a career thing. Like it's important to be on Twitter to stay informed. It's important to be on Instagram so that you can get noticed and have clout. Like it's important to be on YouTube so that you can have your own business if you're on YouTube. I don't know. I think that's part of it. Another part is like if you've read Digital Minimalism, right?
Yes.
One of the things, the value, Cal talks about value.
Cal.
And yeah, Cal. You know,
my friend
me,
Cal.
Me and Cal.
Yeah.
My friend Cal. Newport talks about, if I call him Newport, it sounds like I'm quoting like a professor. Well, he is. Anyway.
He is.
He talks about proposed value of social media, and like part of the value that the audience he's talking to is primarily Facebook users. So he says that one of the proposed value points is keeping up with your friends. And so those are two things. So people either use social media recreationally or professionally. I think professionally using social media is kind of a scam, because the amount of actual, audience that you need to make money on Instagram is ridiculous. I follow this guy. He has 100,000 followers on Instagram. He doesn't make a dime from Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah. Because if someone even wanted, he's like, first of all, he's a millionaire, so he doesn't need to. He's worth $3.2 million.
So
he doesn't need it.
Is his name Ty Lopez? And also, why do you know this guy's net worth?
He's a finance account, so he talks about his net worth sometimes. And so he lives very frugally, and so he's very focused on like making sure that he doesn't do anything that's not worth his time. And so he enjoys the Instagram page. He likes helping people with their money, but he doesn't need it. So it's not an income source for him. But also, he was like, based on the time, like my time spent on marketing products for people and like getting money as a promotion is just not worth it. So he would make like maybe $300 if he promoted from ad traffic. But it's like, how many of those would you need? If you did one of those a week, which is hard to do, if you did one of those a week, you would be making the same as someone who's on unemployment. Right? Like the amount of ads you actually have to do to make money full time on Instagram is ridiculous. So using social media as like a professional platform is kind of silly unless you're like really going to commit to it and you're, you know, knowledgeable of how it works. I don't know. Does that make sense?
It does. Not where I thought you were going to go with it, but that's enlightening.
This is a soapbox, but let's go back to the other side. So there's two sides of it. There's professional value and then there's personal value.
Right.
Personal value is what we were asked about.
Yes.
So keeping up with friends and or making friends.
Which is like worth it to an extent. The thing that I think is so, I don't really believe that anybody's actually on social media to keep up with their friends or make new friends. Like I
see why you wouldn't believe that.
Why?
Well, I mean, it's like there's think about the incentive to post versus the incentive to look at posts.
Yeah.
The incentive to post is so much higher than the incentive. Like you don't get likes based on your likes. You know, you don't get like the dopamine hit from
you liking other people's stuff.
Yeah, you don't get the dopamine hit from liking other people's stuff. You get a dopamine hit when other people like your stuff. And think about it, they didn't have to add a like button on Facebook, but they noticed people were using it more when they did. Yeah. So they added it.
And that's the thing is, like, yeah, you'll be scrolling through these websites, and a lot of it is, it's this weird reciprocal thing of, I've even had, like, I've posted once on Instagram in the past year. It was just a picture of me and Emma that I liked, and it's good. And that's it. And I probably won't ever post again. Emma deleted her Instagram not too long ago, which, shout out. I'm heading that direction too. The only reason I would keep it is if I got a different job and we got to do more things with the Crunch baby part time.
Yeah.
So I'll keep it on the back burner for that reason. But, like, even recently, I had somebody send me a message that said, like, "Hey, how come you don't follow me on Instagram?" It's like the first time her and I had spoken to each other in a while, and I was like, I don't know, why does it matter? Like, you have my phone number, you can call me whenever you want. And so it even among people that are like, she's still a good friend, like, I don't hold it against her at all, but there's this weird reciprocity of like, oh, I'll follow you and I'll like your stuff, and then you follow me and you like my stuff, and this is good because we're friends, like, outside of social media. So like, this is just what we do, and this is fun, and like, we're all having fun. And I just don't think that that's good. I think that that's really harmful. Because what's the point?
It makes the friendship even more utilitarian than it already trends towards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, friendships do trend toward, especially younger friendships and like not as deep friendships, trend towards, I get something out of hanging out with you and you get something out of hanging out with me. So let's hang out because we both are mutually benefiting from this friendship. Whereas, like, deeper friendship is friendship for the sake of the person. It's like, I think we're friends for the sake of each other. We do get something out of hanging out with each other, but, like, that's not why you were in my wedding. Yeah, like, what you said is, like, oh, well, I follow and I like your stuff, so I kind of expect you to do the same thing is absurd. But it's so normal that we don't realize how absurd it is. And unless you're outside of the bubble of social media, you don't realize how absurd it is.
Yeah.
Strange how absurd it is.
The other thing that I think is interesting is the Truman Show analogy. You remember what the Truman Show is about?
Of course. Love the Truman Show.
So the Truman Show is about Jim Carrey. And that's
actual Jim Carrey.
And that's it. No. So if you've never seen the Truman Show, stop this podcast. Go watch the Truman Show. It's a great movie. But basically, this guy, who kind of looks like Steve Jobs, builds a giant dome, essentially. Like the biggest man-made structure in the world. You can see it from space, all these things. And he creates a town and like a sizable ocean. I guess it's like a lake. It's all man-made. And all the people who live in it are actors except for one dude, Truman. And there's hidden cameras everywhere. And like, everybody knows that it's a show. And the whole world watches it. And they just watch him like eat cereal, go about his life. Like, there are people who are super fans of this show who like love everything about him. And they try to create drama by like getting his wife to leave him and bring in a new love interest and all this. Like, they've controlled his life since he was a kid, basically. And he just doesn't understand why. And then things start happening and he figures it out and then he leaves. And that's where the movie ends. And it's brilliant. It's an incredible movie. Spoilers, but also it's like a 30-year-old movie. So whatever. So the idea, like, why is social media like the Truman Show? It's because everybody's created a world for themselves in which everything is about them. Where everything it pertains to me, and I can filter out the things that do not pertain to me, and I can put myself in this bubble with lots of Truman adjacent people, right? Who are all there for my sake, right? Everybody who's there in that show is there for you, and everything is about you, and it's just like, is that really? I mean, if we're looking at this from a Christian perspective, is having social media, looking at it that way, like having basically this world, this giant dome that you've created for yourself, is that spiritually beneficial? You know, like it seems to be in stark, direct, immediate contrast with Jesus's commandments in the Gospels about how we ought to live with other people. So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think I'm frustrated because the more I talk about social media, the more I want to just burn it all to the ground.
Yes.
But there are good things. But what do those good things...
What's the cost of the good things, you know?
Exactly. You have to have a cost-benefit analysis, and you have to say, well, here are the... So, like, I mean, I think I've gotten better at cost-benefit analysis
of
social media and how I use it. Because, like, I was like, okay, what's the cost-benefit analysis of Twitter? So, okay, even if I'm using it recreationally, it's legitimately affecting my relationships and my mental health. Yeah. Like, it's actually affecting my peace.
Right.
And every time I go on, I see a news story that just bugs the crap out of me. And same with Facebook. I was like, well, Facebook has the benefit of we can create a community for our patrons. But the problem is a bunch of my friends from high school share memes about politics, and I disagree with all of them. I don't know how they're a very wide swath of political opinions in my friend history. And the people that I met over the course of my life, they all have very different opinions, but they're all wrong. And they all post very angry memes. And I'm like, how do I just unfollowed everybody.
Yeah.
So nobody has to get their hurt feelings. I don't have to ruin anybody's day by finding out we're not friends anymore on Facebook. Some people have comments. Like, I've unfriended people, and some people are like, oh, why'd you unfriend me on Facebook? It's like, I don't know, man. This is the first time we've talked in like 8 years. You know,
yeah,
why do you care? I don't need a catalog of alphabetically every person I've ever met. Okay. That's not something I need.
Yeah.
I used to think that was good, but it's not. So like, I think cost benefit analysis includes like, how am I going, if I'm going to use this, how am I going to? And like, a part of it has been, okay, for work, right? I need for the crunch, which is like a job thing.
The crunch.
We need Facebook. I don't need Twitter. For my job, I need Instagram, because that's just how the kids talk.
Right. Sure.
But then like, you look and you're like, okay, so my job requires me, the crunch requires me to use Instagram to reach the people that are on Instagram. But why are those people on Instagram? Are they recreationally using Instagram? I know Instagram can be just as inflammatory as Twitter.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I started looking at comment sections, and I was like, oh no. Oh no. I hate this. And it's like, I ran to Instagram to, you know, to be free of this. Mm-hmm. At least it's not Twitter. But yeah, so I don't know. By saying, oh, I need to use Instagram for this thing, are we being complicit in other people's poor use of it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's not necessarily an all or nothing thing. I do think that moderation is possible, but given all of the other baggage that comes with it, all of the companies getting your information and targeting ads, and the money that you lose when you have ads targeted to you, and like the time that you lose that you could be spending doing other things, and the peace that you lose from getting fired up about stuff that you otherwise wouldn't know about and could live peacefully, like, I think you lose so much more even if you do use it moderately. And so I think we we're too bullish on how much good social media can do for the church. I've heard a lot of people say that you have to use it because it's the digital space is where the gospel is needed the most. Yeah, but there are very specific people who have received calls to do that. This podcast is one way that we can do this, can do that work without having really to engage with it at all. We just get to put it out there, like, and then it's out there, and then it's done, you know? Father Mike Schmitz, Matt Frad, Bishop Barron, Ascension Presents, Catholic Answers, like, all those people are doing something that is not getting into arguments or like posting a PDF of like why Mary is right and like getting 2 likes on it. You know what I mean? Like, people think that it's like, oh, I have to stand up for my faith on social media or else I'm like not a believer. It's like, well, no, it actually probably be better if you just deleted it and went and talked to a person. And so I think we need to let the people who have been given the gifts to do it, like, let them do it. And then the laity have to be the laity. Like, we have to go, like, when we get mashed into this whole anonymous ocean of content and news and all these things, like, there's no way for the people of God to stand out. There's nothing that differentiates us from anybody else. Like, there's really no way through the screen for you to love your neighbor. There's really no way to be charitable. And so I just think it's hard to say, like, oh yeah, we as Christians need to be changing the world through online. It's like, well, people read like 50,000 things a day, and who, yes, obviously Jesus can work in all things, right? And people have come to the faith through the internet, but like one tweet or one post mixed in with thousands and thousands of other tweets and posts, probably not going to be the thing. Like, yeah. Like there's no way to tell tone. There's no way to tell like who's paying attention to who. There's no way to know like all the hallmarks of how Christians are supposed to act in the world are all lost in the digital medium. And so we're trying to ignore that because we're all addicted to it. And I think people just need to say that and acknowledge it and leave it for what it is, which is a nice thing. The internet can help us in a lot of ways, can help us in so, so many ways, and already has. But social media is not one of those things. And that's my take, and I'm done.
I'm also rethinking the idea that has been, that Camille brought up, that we became friends on Twitter.
We did not become friends on Twitter.
We didn't become friends on Twitter. Like I said last week, like this podcast is two strangers becoming friends. We interacted on Twitter. We started a blog with seven other dudes. we were in a group chat, you know, like all of those things were real, but we didn't become friends on Twitter. Even classic Catholic Twitter DMs, you know, will say like they met through Twitter, but they became friends when they were together. And Twitter is great for bringing people together that otherwise would never meet, but it's not good for like making friends.
Yeah.
If you want to make friends, the way to do it is go to people around you. And then Twitter is also good for finding things that get everybody that's on Twitter is trying to get you off Twitter. Everybody that's on social media, like all the companies are, even us, even me on the last story that I posted on my high school youth group's Instagram was, hey, you guys should come to youth group. That's me trying to get them off of Instagram to go to youth group.
Right.
On the Crunch, I posted, hey, the Crunch store is open. I'm trying to get you guys off of Instagram and onto our website. Like everybody's trying to get you off of Instagram and onto their website. The only thing that Instagram is good for is finding people and bringing them somewhere else.
Yeah.
Social media is inherently transitory, but we treat it as an end instead of a means.
Yes.
All the time. For some reason, followers is a thing. You know, we crave it even though we don't, you know. It's like, oh, I got another follower. Oh, that's great. You know, Instagram was talking about removing likes and they never did. They probably realized how much money they lost.
Yeah, they also realized how much positive PR they would get from saying something like that. Like, we care about your mental health. Everyone's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yay. Then they didn't do anything.
TikTok too. They have this thing where someone's like, oh, hey, like, you've been scrolling a lot. It's time. We've all been there. I've been there, too. Why don't you turn off the app and, like, go lay down? This guy I follow, he's like, I follow my two brothers, and I follow this dude on TikTok. And because my brothers are hilarious. I'm not going to tell you their TikToks, though. And he was like, hey, let's talk about this guy for a second. You might ask, why does TikTok want you to turn off the app? Because This is a video that's promoted by TikTok, and it's like the algorithm sees that you've been scrolling forever, so they'll show you this video, and it's like just a TikTok. And it's like, why does TikTok want you to leave? Doesn't TikTok make money if you spend more time on the app? Yes, but over the long term, if you develop an unhealthy relationship and you notice, then you're gonna delete the app. If you notice that it has a problem with if your mental health is suffering because of TikTok, you're gonna delete it. But seeing this video makes you think, oh, they care about my mental health. So, like, it's a social media I should keep because they care about my mental health.
That's messed up.
It's so insidious. Ugh. Oh, here's the thing. Here's the problem with social media. It's changing. It's going to keep changing.
It's coming.
It's going to keep. It's different than a cigarette because they can make it more addictive by adding ones and zeros to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to adding a chemical.
Imagine you were,
it takes time.
You were smoking a cigarette that got live updates. Like you started with the alpha cigarette, and by the time you finished, it was the 4.0 version of that cigarette.
Yeah.
And you're 50 times more likely to smoke another one by the end of it than you were at the beginning. That's literally what happens. It's nutsy.
They can flip a switch in California and make you more and make the colors more cool.
A guy in a hoodie in California will sneeze and I'm going to lose 3 hours of my day. It's crazy what happens.
It's crazy. A guy who makes more money than I will ever think about in Birkenstocks and a hoodie who drove a super Tesla that isn't released to the public yet to his job in a big open floor warehouse. Just hit a button and I just lost a year of my life.
I saw today Anyway. Somebody has said that they watched Mad Men 10 times. All of Mad Men. This is out of social media and into Netflix and stuff, but golly.
Talking about Mad Lad. I know, right?
Can you... There's other stuff out there. There's no way.
There's a whole world. It had to have been in the background. It had to have been.
Yeah, I don't.
All right. Speaking of doing things online, you wanna talk about online dating?
Yes, please.
Let's hop on over to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. All right, so because you out there in listener land did not pay your respects to the great Dr. Ethan.
It was our 4-year anniversary and you gave us nothing.
You gave us nothing.
I don't get no respect.
The only anniversary present we got was a bunch of people bought shirts on thecrunch.com.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for buying merchandise on thecrunchcast.com.
Keep buying our shirts.
Shout out to our first customer, Colleen. What a homie, Colleen. And yeah, you can head on over to thecrunchcast.com. You should go over there quickly because the stock is limited and we're only doing reprints every so often. We're trying to drop a new merchandise product like a hoodie before Christmas time so that you guys can be nice and toasty and remember your boys. So
I would like a crunch hoodie.
Sorry, we were... What did you say?
Nothing.
What did you say?
No, that was good.
Sorry, it's Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner time. Yep. No more ads. Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. Today we're going to be talking about... There's a theme I found... Oh, sorry. So I had to turn to Reddit for Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. And speaking of a social media that should burn to the ground, so the Catholic Reddit is an interesting place. It's full of interesting people. Yeah. And sometimes people go on this Reddit called r/Catholic Dating, and they ask for dating advice. All right. And not just online, but just dating advice in general. And so I found two that have to do with a little thing called age difference. Mm. All right. You ready for this? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have not pre-screened these.
Okay,
so,
great.
this one is dating age range, ? What is the best age range? I'm 25 for reference. My friend said for guys, 10 years below. 10 years below and 5 years above for guys.
Okay.
So that would put my dating range at 18 to 30.
No.
He's 28.
He's 25.
He's 25.
That put it at 15.
Oh. Oh, so he no, he, I think he raised it so that he's not dating a child.
Okay, thank goodness.
18 to 30. Now my friend's reasoning is generally men like women younger than them and women like men older than them. But also good to see women who might be a few years older than you. Also, he said women mature earlier than men. I was 18 in my senior year of high school. I feel like dating a woman who's 18 is a bit of a stretch. However, if we're both Catholic, have the same values, around the same maturity level, should I get over the age difference? IDK, what the rule of thumb is here. Anyone got insight for this?
Mm.
And then here's am I too young for him? A similar question. I never thought I'd be that girl, but life has a way of surprising us. Not too long ago, I connected with a great guy on Catholic Match. It's still too soon to tell if anything will come after it. He's 15 years older than me.
Oh.
I'm afraid I might like him a bit too much. Does the church have any guidelines on what an appropriate age gap is? Disclaimer, I'm well above 18.
Okay.
That's good.
I think it's interesting how people are looking for the church to have. Does the church... What kind of English muffin should I have this morning? Does the church have a have a ruling on it? I bought Country Crock instead of Lando Lakes. Was that does the church?
Oh, you mean brands? You mean brands?
Hmm?
I was like, are there different kinds of English muffins? Is there like a Yorkshire upon Thames muffin and then like a Stratford upon Avon muffin?
Those were like different kinds of butters that I listed, but also I mean there are different flavors. I think like you can have a blueberry English muffin. I would assume kind of like
no, you can't.
Kind of like bagels. Yeah, you can.
No, they're not.
Yes,
they're not bagels at all. They're like. Tasteless biscuits.
Blueberry English muffins. Oh, there they are.
You're joking.
I'm not joking. They're right there. Thomas Blueberry.
What fresh hell hath God wrought?
This is not a fresh hell. This is a delicious blueberry hell.
Delicious blueberry hell. Yeah. Blueberry English muffins?
I know. I'll let you wrestle with that for a second.
All right.
Okay, we're back. So.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah.
I think it's so funny. Like, there's no, should I go to American Eagle? Should I go to Aeropostale? What did Leo the 13th say about this one? Like, you gotta get over that. You gotta get over it. You gotta,
really?
If you have good friends that are around you that say that something is good and you also think that it's good and it's not illegal or heretical, then go for it. Like, there's no handbook. There's no guidebook. Our priest last night gave a homily about how there's no perfect path. Like, Jesus did not set up, like, if you just follow in these exact footsteps, then you will get holy, you know? Like, he gave us free will to choose. Like, you're not supposed to live the exact same life as John Paul II. You're not supposed to live the exact same life as Mother Teresa. You're supposed to live your life, which means that if the church were to rule definitively on every single contingency, then there would be no freedom. You know, like that wouldn't make any sense. So if you want to date this guy that's 15 older than you, date the guy. If you're a 25-year-old guy and you're thinking about dating a 15-year-old girl, maybe don't do that. But I do think that for the guy who's like 25, it's just like, I mean, if someone's in college, if the thing about when you're in your 20s is if they're below 21, then it's kind of weird. I would say that's the only thing that I would disagree with. In general, I think a good rule is half your age plus 7. And then
someone brought that one up. I do think that's a fun one only if you're like in your 20s to 30s.
Yeah.
But if you're in high school,
Don't use that
rule.
That's not a good rule. I also think it's a quick way to check and see if the person you're interested in can do math, you know. Anyway.
Like, if you're 15, half your age plus 7 is not a good idea.
If you're 15, half your age plus 7 is 14, Patrick, so just so you know.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
You dummy.
I was just doing half your age.
Yeah. You picked the one where it works perfectly.
Yeah, the one age where it works fine. You know what? No, 15-year-olds should not be dating 14-year-olds because 15-year-olds shouldn't be dating.
There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, if you're 25, do not date an 18-year-old. I've met 18-year-olds. Don't do it. It's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think if you're out of college, date a senior in college or date someone who's graduated from college. But any younger than that, because that means they can't drink. And then it's like weird if you go and you're like, oh, do you want to drink? Oh.
Oh.
And it's like, yeah, you're a child still.
Yeah, there is a different dynamic. Even though it's like they may be very mature, it's like they're still like socially a child still, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be the one thing that I would say. I think in general, people just need to just go nuts.
Yeah, people are just not going nuts enough. That's the problem with our culture. The Culture Project is actually a project that just tells people, go nuts. The culture war is just trying to get people to go nuts. I have another, this is an actual question.
Okay, I'm ready.
So this one's not just like a concept, but this one is called, was I not clear or am I just dumb?
Okay, before you even read it, yes. To both.
It is, am I not clear or was I just dumb? Yeah, both. On Saturday, I asked a woman if I could take her out for coffee.
That's your first
sometime.
Mistake. Saturdays are for the boys.
Specifying not this week. She said yes, so I asked for her number to coordinate. She asked for mine instead.
What?
So she could also add me to a group chat. She adds me to the group chat, but doesn't text. Okay, maybe she wants me to text. Maybe she's busy, etc. But whenever I see her around, I see her around every day or two, so I'll just wait to ask in person. So I went to a group thing the girl invited him to on Monday. I ran into her earlier and said, thanks for inviting me. And then he asked her about meeting for coffee. She says her schedule is super packed and she can't meet this week, but she's still down and would like to get to know me once things calm down. So three options. One, I wasn't as clear as I thought when asking her for coffee. She didn't understand I was asking her on a date, but taking someone out for coffee is pretty clear expression of dating interest, right? Two. We got to remember these questions. Mm-hmm. Can I answer them in sequence, like Aquinas? She is trying to gently tell me, not interested, but like meeting new people, you included. Not interested, but I like meeting new people. But in that case, wouldn't she suggest group activities or just be upfront? Or three, she gets that I was asking her for a date, is interested in a date, and I'm just a dumb dummy who doesn't realize it. I don't want to make things awkward. Any advice?
On the contrary, Number one. Oh, I forgot the first question already.
This is the first option is he was the first. So there's like three. There's three like
he didn't communicate
possible
well enough
scenarios. Yeah, he wasn't clear enough, and she like doesn't understand that it's a date.
Yeah, so I think for this one, all you got to do is call her up and be like, you know, we're going on a date, right? And then she'll be like, oh yeah. And then if not, then she'll be like, oh no.
Oh, that's awkward.
But yeah. It's awkward, but it's better than it. You going and you think it's a date,
and then if she says that's awkward, then you go, sweet, now I don't have to pay.
And just play it off, and then you're booling. I think unless you, this is the classic blunder, is guys don't say the.
I do that one with Phoebe all the time, by the way.
Guys don't say
the. This is a date? She goes, no, we're just going to Taco Bell, and then I go, sweet, I don't have to pay.
Guys don't use the D word when they're asking girls. Like,
yeah.
Many times I've done this. This is why this podcast is good, because I've done this. I say, hey, do you want to get coffee? And I'm like, I like this girl. I think she's gorgeous. I'm ready to get coffee. She's like, great. And then I try to pay for her when we get there. And then she's like, no, I'll pay. And I was like, oh.
Oh, it's a date.
She knows that I thought that this was what it was. And she now I know that she knows that we both know that it's not. And then the rest of the.
And now our audience knows that you know that she knows that you knew that.
Mm-hmm. And it's not good. So you got to use the D word sooner rather than later. So at this point, it's up in the air, because girls don't instantly assume that coffee means you want to date me. That's just not something that they assume. They're like, this guy's nice and he wants to get to know me.
Yeah. So someone commented a very good thing. Taking someone out for coffee is a pretty clear expression of dating, right? No. It's a vague thing, yep. On purpose, so that either party can change its meaning after, should it go poorly. If she liked you, she'd make time. She's giving all of the signs of not being interested romantically. Maybe she just wants attention. Now, I wonder.
That's a bit bold.
I don't mean to say it like this, but I wonder what gender this person is.
Yeah, I wonder. And I wonder who hurt them.
I know.
And I wonder in what way and after which coffee date she hurt him. Anyway.
No, really?
The second question is...
Oh, okay. It's a man. And one of his common history things is, romance isn't something men experience. It's something we're forced to create as part of having a relationship.
Oh, no.
And his one of his comment flares is that he's a hellosexual, which means he's very funny.
Yikes.
Cool.
Yikes.
That's what's on the Catholic dating subreddit, folks. Stay away.
Stay very far away. Second question was what?
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
We're still answering this.
Oh, we're done. Oh. We're still answering this
question. Oh, no, question. We're done. We can be
all
done.
Right. I mean, the second question was, in that case, if she's not interested, what do I do? And then the third question was, if she gets that I'm asking for a date, then she is interested, and she is interested, and I just don't realize. We answered all the
questions.
Okay,
good. I forgot.
There's three possibilities of what could be happening, and we talked about all of them. He edited it and said, to be clear, I'm not hung up over it. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sure that's why you posted
it on
the internet.
Yeah, people
only
make Reddit posts when they're totally detached from things.
Totally detached from the situation.
Anyway, Patrick, you have a meeting to go to very shortly. We have to end the episode.
I do.
Patreon.com/thecrunch. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
What fresh blueberry hell is this?
Thanks.
<You're all laughs>
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next week.